All right. Can everybody hear me just fine? Yeah, good. All right. So hi, I'm Dimitri. I'm a PhD student at the CEA in Paris. And I'm going to present some work, some current work that I've been working on with Michael, who's just there, and Stefano Zaccaroli. As I'm sure you may know, there's been a bunch of recent backdoor attacks targeting the supply chain. So there are two goals here. Either you compromise a project directly and you get access to that project, or you compromise some core project that has a lot of dependence on it, and through that project you pollute the entire supply chain. So the attack vectors that we've seen in real life is either people trying to push some malicious commit, as was the case with PHP, people just hijacked some Git accounts and managed to push commits. Or you go the tarball route, where you basically replace a legitimate release tarball by an infected one containing a backdoor. And that's what happened with VSFTPD and ProFTPD. And then you have XAUtils, which is kind of both, right? And it's even worse, because it's somebody who is supposed to be a trusted maintainer, and so on. So these were all detected up to a few days after injection, which is already not bad, but it was largely due to luck and just sheer manual effort, right? So we need to have something better than this to catch these things. So how do we detect backdoors in general? Well, the historic way of doing it is basically manual reverse engineering. So there's not really a simple like algorithm you can use to do it. You kind of just have to dig through a binary. And there are tools to help with automating parts of that. We talked about this yesterday. Basically, a year ago, we introduced a new approach that's based on fuzzing that largely automates this. So basically, the way that approach works is you collect a set of representative inputs. So those are common inputs to a program. And for every new input, you compare it with the representative inputs. If the behavior is different, you signal a suspicious input, because that could be a backdoor. However, all of these are after the fact detection, right? So at that point, the backdoor is already in the release and the binary is being distributed. So it's kind of too late. Like, people might have been impacted already. How do we prevent bugs from ever making into releases? Well, one way actually is to use fuzzing in CI. This is already in use. Just for those of you who don't know, fuzzing is a brute force automated test generation approach where you basically spam your target program with a bunch of inputs and you're hoping to make it crash, for example, and that might be a symptom of a vulnerability. So this already exists for many big open source projects that you know. The reason why is that it's highly automatic, so it's pretty easy to set up, and you kind of just let it do its thing. There's an extremely low false positive rate, so usually it's basically zero. If you have a crash, then that in and of itself is a problem in most cases. And also, it can work with constrained resources. So even in a CI job, in a very short CI job, you can still get fuzzing to work. But this can only discover basically crash-type vulnerabilities. So why don't we just apply the approach we talked about yesterday in the security dev room in the CI? Like, surely you can just plug it in. Actually, no. So there are a bunch of problems. So first of all, it's way too slow. So the approach, if you caught the talk yesterday, is targeting binary-only programs. So there's a huge like emulation overhead related to that, and so you can't just run that in CI. You can't run in 10 minutes. And the bigger problem, actually, is the false positives. So it's not that the tool produces many false positives. It's that it produces false positives basically every time. And this is obviously non-tractable for a CI pipeline. You can't have your CI telling you there's a backdoor every other commit when there's none. So we propose a new approach here. So we observe that there's a rolling effect in CI, right? So you have your version n plus 1, n plus 2, and so on. So instead of just treating them independently, as the state-of-the-art tools do, why don't you just use the history, basically, of the project to get some more information? So for example, if you assume that the previous version contains no backdoors, then you can do a bunch of stuff. So first of all, you can use its fuzzer-generated inputs as representative inputs, and that gives you a bunch more behaviors to compare to. And then you can go even further, and you can say that if I observe something being weird, quote unquote, based on these heuristics in both versions, then it's probably fine, because since the previous version is backdoor free, like, the behavior is the same. But if I only observe it in the new version, then there's a problem. So let's go over an example so you get what I mean. So PHP ships with a built-in HTTP server that actually was attacked via backdoor in 2021. And we're going to fuzz it with this method to try to detect the backdoor. So at some point, the fuzzer will generate a request to the server with a huge value for content length. So that's a header. And basically, as you can imagine, the server will just refuse to treat the request like you're shooting me with like a 400 terabyte size request. I can't treat that, so no. So that leads to different system calls on the server side. And this would have been saved as suspicious by the existing tools, right? But if we run it in the previous version of the same HTTP server, well, it will react in the same way, right? This is legitimate behavior, actually. So since both react in the same way, we can safely prune the input away, and we can remove what would have been a false positive. So this method allows us to drop the false positive rate by a lot. And of course, as I said before, speed is still an issue, since before we were targeting binaries from firmware from multiple platforms. We were largely using QEMU to be able to handle that, so we were emulating. This is nice, but it's also extremely slow. So instead of doing that, now since we're on the developer side and we have access to the source code, we'll just use AFL++'s compiler pass to inject fuzzer instrumentation into the source code directly. So that gives us a much higher throughput for the fuzzer, which speeds things up. So we need to evaluate this to make sure it works. So first of all, we need to evaluate whether backdoor detection has been impacted. And the way we do that is we test on 3 real-world attacks, 2 of which have CVEs attached to them, and 10 synthetic attacks where basically we created backdoors and injected them in popular open source projects. And then we also want to test false positive filtering. So we can't possibly test on every commit in the history of the repo. That's kind of too much. So what we do is we borrow this approach from another paper, actually. And what we do is we cluster commits in sequences. So you have sequences of 3 commits. And then you compute how many files were changed in a sequence and how many lines. You take the average of the 3 commits. And then you put them in buckets, so small, medium, high. And you take all possible combinations of the buckets. So that gives you a set of representative commits where you have many files changed, a few files changed, many lines, a few lines, so on and so forth. We do this twice because many commits actually modify things that do not alter the behavior of the program, such as documentation, stuff like that. So one time, we just do it indistinguishably throughout the entire history. The second time, we only pick commits that actually alter source code files. And that gives us 432 commit pairs to evaluate on throughout the 13 different programs that we use. But actually, we can go even further. So what if we added another layer of security where if something gets past the project level check, we can maybe catch it at the distro level check or the packaging check. So for example, when a Debian release manager wants to make a new release, they can run the same like 10-minute tool on very sensitive packages, let's say. And that way, there's another net, basically, that we can cast to catch any backdoors that might have slipped through. So in order to test that, we also took the last 3 Debian and Ubuntu releases. And that yields another 50 release pairs where we can test on with much bigger diffs this time. And we also apply the backdoors on top of these just to test how the backdoor detection works in the case of releases. So grand total, 482 version pairs for the commit filtering and 63 for the backdoors. It's more than 500 different version pairs basically to test on. So the results are that all backdoors are still detected as they were with the previous tool. So we lose nothing on that end. And actually, the detection rate goes up because of the optimizations with the source mode fuzzing. And this is for 10-minute fuzzing campaigns. So this is nothing, basically, in terms of time. And false positive-wise, we have an extremely low rate as well. So basically, only 17 runs out of more than 8,500 had a false positive and had a single one. And actually, we also added a tool that can generate a report showing which lines cause the suspicious behavior or the suspicious system calls. So you can find yourself in a situation where you have a multi-thousands of lines diff that gets boiled down to 2 lines that emit suspicious system calls. And as a developer, it's much easier to check. So yeah, in conclusion, backdoor prevention is possible with an extremely low overhead because you're reusing fuzzing results, 90% detection rate on our benchmark with only 0.2% false positive rates across the entire thing. Thank you very much. Thank you.
time for a few questions. Let's go.
So thanks for the talk. Will that approach be like included in some repositories, registries, like package registries, as you mentioned, repositories for the distributions and so on?
So yeah, the idea is to pitch this to both developers of big open source projects and also distro maintainers, release managers, basically. So you can have multiple layers that check at different intervals. So a project might check commit by commit, but the release manager might check once every 2 years or something. So it's harder to get past both filters at the same time.
And where we can check for the paper
and school? So it's not out yet, but well, if you look at my site or something, I will release it as soon as it's up.
Okay, one more question. Yes.
Is language specific or just...
There's a caveat. So fuzzing you can do in any languages. There are many fuzzers that target many languages. The fuzzer that we're using for this prototype targets C and C++ programs, but it's fairly easy to find another fuzzer for your language of choice. Plug it into our system. Our system can take any fuzzer, basically. So it works based on the same premise. Basically, as soon as you have a system that uses syscalls, which means basically everything, you can detect backdoors this way.
Okay, a few more questions.
Shall we first?
Next.
You were saying that you are keeping the fuzzing between one run and the other.
Right.
So how much space that? Because you are kind of trading speed with disk space at this point.
Sure. So the thing is, you don't have to save all the history. You just have to save the last run. So sure, that might be, I don't know, a few thousand to tens of thousands of test cases. But those are like small text files, basically. But you only need to save the previous one. The system does not require a longer history than that. If you wanted to be really careful, you could save more. But you can just save the previous one. It will work. So the benchmark that we use, we can talk about it later if you want, is pretty adversarial. So we actually, in the paper, we're writing about different attack models against this method. And from our evaluation, they don't really seem to work reliably. So you have things that can work a small percentage of the time, but like you cannot guarantee that this will get past multiple filters down the line. Sure. Modern fuzzers, Sure. There are like fuzzing blocking constructs. For example, if you put a crypto check, like in XCUtils, a fuzzer can't get past that, but neither can a symbolic execution engine or any dynamic analysis. It's kind of like the point of crypto. So yeah, you're limited by that. However, if you do that, you then have a huge blank spot in your coverage. So you have, as a contributor to the project, you have to explain why what you added cannot be covered. So for the attacker, it's complicated.
Thank you.
Thank you.